Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Let's open up our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. And I want to take a moment, of course, and honor your pastor and his wife and their family, and just the great people of God that they are. I know you all love them very much. Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a big round of applause for them and all the amazing things they do for this church. And it really is a good thing to be in a place where people in leadership, you know, including your pastor and others in the leadership, just have a heart for revival, for more of Jesus, to see Jesus change people's lives. And that's really what this is all about. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we watch what Jesus does. An amazing experience. Amen. Like my sister giving a Bible study. Thank you for that testimony. Don't y'all appreciate that testimony? Why don't we give the Lord a round of applause for that? You know, she said something that really hit home with me. She said, while I was giving that Bible study, I don't remember the name of the person you're giving a Bible study to. She said, but while I was giving the Bible study, she received revelation. It was unfolding right there before my eyes. That's what you said a moment ago. I mean, that's another revival for her right there, all alone in that moment, to see somebody else experience the love of Jesus Christ. Can be in a home, can be in a church, can be at a coffee shop, can be wherever you want it to be. And so I commend you for that. What an amazing thing. If you ever just say, man, I'm feeling a little bit bored, you know, with this whole church thing or with serving God, go give a Bible study. Promise you won't be bored much longer. That is a fact. Amen. I also want to honor my wife and my two boys that I love very much and so glad that they're with me. You can give them a round of applause too. That's all right. And I caught wind to the fact that my oldest son has been mimicking me while I'm preaching. So y'all will probably hear him shouting and preaching, I guess, somewhat similar to what I do. And I'm giving you all time to look for the scripture, all right? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 in the Old Testament, not New Testament. I know I preach maybe a little bit different than maybe what some people expect or whatnot. And I was at a church in Missouri. It was about southeast Missouri out in a country area. And I got to preaching on a Saturday night. And, I was preaching like I do, my dad said, if you don't lose your voice while you're preaching or while you're singing, you didn't do it right. That's what he'd tell us. So that's kind of the school of thought that I came from. Obviously, I don't stick with that, or else I wouldn't be able to preach 5 services, in a week. It wouldn't work. But I remember preaching that way, and this little kid Sunday morning, I was in the restrooms washing my hands there and drying my hands. A little kid said, he's probably about 5 or 6 years old, and he said, hey, are you the guy that was yelling in the microphone last night? And I was like, well, Yeah, that was me. I'm guilty. I didn't really know what to say. He caught me off guard. And he said, well, I could hear you just fine if you weren't yelling in the microphone. I was hoping he'd stop there, but he didn't. He said, well, I turned to my mom and I said, I can't understand anything he's saying. I wish he just quit yelling in the microphone. So if you all don't understand what I'm saying, then after church, you come talk to me and I'll reiterate the message for you. Is that all right? The Bible did say that Peter got up and he, with a loud voice, shouted, right? All right, so I'm in the book. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house, or what do you have left? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he says, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. We'll go down to verse 6. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Can we put our Bibles to one side? Let's lift up our hands all over this place. If you're watching online, let that be your sanctuary wherever you are. Let's lift up our voice. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to be here right now. I pray that you would open every heart, every mind of every listener here today. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would anoint my mind and loose my tongue to speak your word here today. I thank you for faith that's already in the room and for what you're going to do in this place. We love you and we magnify you. Why don't you clap your hands one more time and thank the Lord? Just because he is God, because he is Alpha, he's Omega, he's the beginning, he's the ending, because he's worthy to be praised. Why don't we just thank God for a moment longer? Jesus, we love you. We magnify you. There's nobody like you. Hallelujah. Jesus, I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you glory. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, if you will, he will. If you will, he will. And after that, shake somebody's hand, give them a big smile, and you may be seated. Now, I want to talk to you for a brief moment on this topic, that if you will, he will. I have been blessed and honored and privileged to go to different churches throughout the country and even some other parts of the world and to preach in many different places. And in doing so, I've experienced a lot of different people. There's a lot of different people in church. And I've experienced some people that in the middle of a good service, and I know there's nobody here in this church this way, because you all are an amazing church, a perfect church. But I know it doesn't exist here, but in some churches, there will be a great move of God, and we'll experience what we're experiencing here and what we have experienced these past services, and the power of God will be moving. And I've maybe said something like, come on down to the altar and, you know, believe that God will heal your body, as I've said before, as your pastor has said, as other preachers have said, you know, come on down to the altar as a step of faith, as an act of faith. This is my step toward God so that God could then do what he wants to do in my life. And I've always encountered people, the one guy or one lady that sits in the back and just kind of, well, when it's my time and when God wants to move me, I'll be moved. I know it doesn't happen here in this church, but it happens some places throughout the world, all right? And people will say, well, you know, when God decides to heal me, then I'll be healed. When God decides to zap me out of my chair and knock me right out of my socks, then that'll be the moment. That'll be the day that I'm healed. Or they'll say, well, you know, I want to receive the Holy Ghost, but when God decides to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I really don't see that in the Bible. That's what I want to bring your attention to. I don't see that God just kind of moves when, you know, God wants to move on somebody in the Bible. It didn't really work that way. There were people that strategically positioned themselves, got in the right place at the right time when they understood Jesus was coming by, when they understood that God would be coming by their town, their village, their house, their country. They wanted a move of God and they weren't going to be silent about it. They weren't going to be quiet about it. They understood that the word of God was very, very explicit on the fact that when we decide to take the first step, then God begins to move. When we act out in faith, then God responds to our faith. Can I tell you that God doesn't respond to anything else except for faith, right? It is impossible to please God without faith. Meaning this, you can clap your hands, but if you don't believe that God's going to move, then nothing's going to happen. You can worship, you can shout, you can dance, you can do all of those things. But if you don't believe that God is going to show up, then nothing in the supernatural is going to happen. But the moment that you begin, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how spiritual you are, doesn't matter how not spiritual you are, the moment you begin to clap your hands even a little bit and you lift up your voice, it might be all you have left, and you decide, well, I believe that God is going to hear my hand clapping. God's going to hear my voice. And that moment, that's when God begins to respond to your faith. Why? Because you have taken the first step, and then God begins to move based on your faith. And so I believe that if you will step out, that God will indeed show up. And so I really don't believe that God just can. And I've heard people say, oh, I believe, bless God, he can. He can heal. Have you ever heard somebody say that before? I believe God can heal. And they're trying to be real spiritual. You know, tell them, no, but do you believe God can heal you right now? Well, I believe he can. I believe at one point, you know, he can do it. And it's kind of a way for them to say, well, even if he doesn't right now, you know, I believe, bless God, that he can. But I don't believe the Bible points to that type of faith. I believe the Bible points to the faith that we are to have all out in that very moment, that we believe that God can, but not only that God can, but that God will. And so I believe today that God can indeed heal your body. I believe that God can deliver your mind. We sung about it, and I believe it with all of my heart, that God can restore you. God can deliver you. God can give you joy and peace and love. But I believe even more so that God will do it, and that God will do it right now in this service. I'm not waiting for another service, for another moment. I believe with all of my heart that God can and that God will. And that where there are people that desire God to move, and there are people that ask, the Bible says, you shall receive. Where there are people that will knock, the Bible says, the door will be opened unto you. The Bible said that where there are people that will seek, you shall find. And so I believe that God can indeed do the miraculous, and I believe that God will indeed today do the impossible. If you believe that, why don't you clap your hands and magnify the Lord for a moment. That's all right. And so the woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 became a widow woman. Her husband had passed away, and the Bible said the prophet had come by where she was. And to kind of paraphrase a little bit, you know, the Bible tells us that the prophet asked her, well, what do you have in the home? And she explains her situation. She says, look, you know, my husband's gone, and the creditors, those that we owe debt to, are going to come and take my two sons to be bondmen. They're going to take my sons to serve them and to be able to pay off this debt. Obviously, she probably had no income of her own at that point. We're talking a totally different time of life. We're not talking America 2022, where everybody has to work just to make it, right? And so back in this day, it wasn't like that. She lost her husband, and he was the one who probably brought all of the income financially, and now they've got this debt, and she's afraid that the creditors are going to come and take her to her boys, and that they're going to be bondmen. They're going to be slaves to work off this debt. And the prophet says, well, what do you have left? What do you have in the house? And she looks at the prophet, and if you look at what she says, it really kind of speaks to her state of mind and where she's at, and even her hopelessness, if you will. And she says, well, I don't have anything except a pot of oil, meaning what she did have left, she felt was insignificant in her current situation. She felt it wasn't big enough. It wasn't good enough for God to do something with. It wasn't good enough to get her out of her current situation. I understand at times we feel like our current circumstance is bigger than what we have left to give to God, that bigger than what God can use. God needs a whole lot more faith, you might think, in this situation to really get me out. I've come into church just kind of barely holding on and barely straggling in, hoping that God would maybe on his good graces do something in my life. But even if it's all you've got left, if you're willing to give it to God, God, I believe, will move, and God will do with what you have left and bring an exponential blessing on your life. Why? Because that's just how good God is. That's just the way that God wants to do it. But it's all based on you here today.
If you desire to move, then God will indeed do the miraculous. Maybe all you've got is a hand clap left. Maybe all you've got is a shout left. Maybe all you've got is you can stand to your feet and lift up your hand. Maybe that's all you've got left down on the inside. Maybe you don't feel like clapping and shouting and dancing. But if you give God everything you've got left, then God will do what only God can do. And I believe that God is going to do the miraculous here today. If you believe that, why do you clap your hands and magnify the name that is above every name? Go ahead, just for a moment longer. Why don't you clap your hands and somebody go ahead and let your voice out and thank God here today, because He is a God that is alive. He is a God that can restore. He is a God that can deliver. He is a God whom cancer has to bow to. He is the only God whom depression has no power over. He's the only God who death, hell, and the grave could not keep. Therefore, today, I speak life into this room, that same Jesus will heal your body, will touch your mind, will deliver you here today.
Amen. I feel Jesus in this room. And I'm excited for what God is about to do. You all believe that? Excited about that? And this woman, this widow woman, she looks at the prophet and says, I don't have anything. What I've got left is just a pot of oil. And you know, if you really think about it for a moment, now I'm going to pretend this is a pot of oil, all right? And I'm going to pretend this is a little jug of oil. And the reality is I cannot fill this bottle, neither anybody in this room, no matter how spiritual you are, no matter how amazing you think you are in the room above everybody else. The fact of the matter is nobody in this room can bring more oil into this bottle than this bottle will actually physically hold. It's impossible. Does it make any sense for that to happen? It would be overflowing and eventually you would waste all of the oil. And the reality is you would need oil from an external place to bring more oil into this bottle. But on your own, with just one bottle, you would not be able to produce oil more than this bottle would hold. And there that woman was with that little pot of oil left. And the Bible said, the prophet said, go get as many vessels as you can find. Borrow not a few. He's giving her a key. Don't just get a few where you believe God can only fill one or two, but if borrow as many as you believe that God can fill. Whatever miracle you think God can do, come into the room with that much faith. And so she tells her boys, now go get all the vessels that you can find. And the Bible says that she closed the door behind her. Why that happened, I'm not 100% sure what was going on there. But at this point, God is nowhere in the picture. I want you all to think about this for a moment. The Bible doesn't say an angel showed up and said, oh, my good faithful servant in whom I am well, please keep on getting the vessels. If an angel showed up, that would have been really encouraging right about then, right? She's on her last leg of life, owes all this money, needs a miracle. It'd be really good for God to just, out of a cloud, audible voice, my good and faithful servant, in whom I am well pleased, keep bringing the vessels, right? You all would get excited and go get more and more vessels. Because you know God's about to do something. But at this point in the scripture, God is not even present in the scripture. Nothing that says that God is in the scripture. It's just a prophet, a woman of God there who's on this last leg, and her sons. They're gathering all the vessels. She closed the door behind her and she said, now bring me another vessel. And she starts pouring. At this point, she has done what only she can do in the natural. She's made her step out of her pew, said, all right, I'm at the altar, lifted up her hands. She's done what only she can do in the natural. She has not done any miracles. She can't do any miracles. But because she has done what only she can do in the natural, that's when God begins to move and say, well, I see that woman with a whole lot of faith. At this point, she's done everything that she can possibly do on her own. And now it's time for me to move. And God begins to sweep in that room, and he does like only he can do, and he begins to produce more oil than the bottle can hold. Why? Because when you do what only you can do in the natural, then God will do what only he can do in the supernatural. When you decide, I'm going to give God everything I've got until I've got nothing left, that's the moment that God sweeps in and begins to do what only God can do. If you're grateful for that here today, why don't somebody lift up
your voice, and why don't somebody clap your hands and magnify the Lord? Because when you step out, that's when God shows up. When you decide, I'm not waiting on God, but God's waiting on me, that's when God shows up. When you decide, I'm going to take the first step, that's when God begins to move.
I'm telling you, that's when God begins to move. The Bible says it, that if you ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's a principle in the Word of God that God really is not waiting on us. I want you to think about that for a moment, because we at times come into church or come to a place in life, well, I'm waiting on God. And there's seasons where we'll wait, but up until that point, we have to do all that we can do in the natural. We've got to pray like we've never prayed. We've got to believe like we've never believed. We've got to fast. We've got to read the Word. We've got to get closer to God in those moments. So at the right time, at the right place, my spirit can be aligned with the Spirit of God. And when God decides to move the waters, when God decides to do what only God can do, I'll be in the right place at the right time. I won't be sitting there with my arms crossed saying, well, they always get a miracle. And how come they always get touched? How come they always get healed? No. This is my time to be healed. This is my day. This is your hour here today to be touched by God. I'm not talking to your neighbor next to you. I'm talking to you. You say, well, I've been in church 40 years. I'm talking to you here today. That when you step out, God will show up.
Yeah.
I was in Israel a few years ago. I was able to go twice, and it was an amazing, amazing experience. I actually proposed to my wife in Israel. She stepped out. But anyone here top that? Didn't think so. And so, I've put that on my brother. Like, bro, he's already married now. But before he was married, like, Israel, come on, man. Just saying. I mean, you got to get like a plane or something, fly and do it on the plane or while you're skydiving to try and top that with a Bible in your hand, add the spiritual aspect. When I went to Israel, we got in a boat, Sea of Galilee, and I'm about 98% sure, kind of just being funny here for a moment, but 98% sure that I was on the exact same boat, the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus was on and the disciples were on. That's how they make you feel anyway, right? I paid the money. It was like $3,000, so I better be on the right boat. And we're out there, and I mean, I'm feeling like, whew, this is where Peter stood right here, right before he jumped off the boat, And I'm thinking, this is it right here. This is the sea. This is the body of water where Peter sees Jesus on the shore. And if you think about it for a moment, Jesus is on the shore, and they're kind of questioning, who is that out there on the shore? And Jesus tells them, it's me. Don't be afraid. They think it's a ghost. They think it's some spirit or whatnot. And Peter says, all right, if it's really you, bid me to come. Now, I believe that Peter understood, if that really is Jesus, then the supernatural is natural to him. That means that the supernatural is easy. And if Jesus is in the room, like right here, right now, that means the supernatural is not a problem. That's the way Peter was thinking. And he's on the boat. All right, if that's really you, a test that proves that that's really you, Jesus, bid me to come on the water and walk on the water just like you're walking on the water. That's a miracle. Now, up until this point, Peter is still in the boat. And Jesus, this is all Jesus gives him. This blows my mind. This is all Jesus tells him, come. How many of you said, man, Lord, please, out of heaven, give me something. Show me a word. You go to the Chinese food spot, and you open up the fortune cookie. Is this from God? Anybody? I'm just being honest. Is that all right? I've only got one more service or two more services after this, and I'm gone. So I'm feeling a little liberty here. Grab the Bible. You open it up. You do the eyes closed thing. In Jesus' name. Right? I mean, how many of y'all done that before? Just hoping and wishing and praying that God would show up somehow, some way, I'm not going to continue on. I got other things to say about that, but I'm just going to move right on. And while you're hoping and wishing and praying God would show up, Peter's there, and
And all Jesus gives him is come. He gives him a word. That's the importance of coming to the house of the Lord and hearing the word of God right here, right? Because when you hear the word of God, your faith is built. You hear your pastor preach, your faith is built. You didn't have those words in the beginning, and the Lord gives you the word, and now you can act on the word. And Peter hears the word come, and at that moment, God does not literally translate Peter's body out of the boat. Would have been nice, right? Peter wouldn't have had to do any work if you think about it. He's in the boat, and all of a sudden, imagine God just translates his body through the wood on over to the water, and all of a sudden, he just starts walking on the water. I mean, God even starts moving his legs for him. Can you imagine how cool that would have been? How amazing that would have been if you really think about it? But the reality is this: Jesus wasn't going to do the work for him. Jesus gave him the word for him to act on. And in that moment, Peter had to decide, well, am I going to go ahead and put one foot? Now, this is the real important part right here, revelatory stuff. Now, am I going to have to put the left foot and then the right foot over the boat? And now this is my opportunity to really see if this Jesus thing really works. And at that moment, while he's on the edge of the boat and his legs are dangling, that's the moment he has to decide, now I'm going to take a leap of faith. And when he jumps, he has done all that he can do in the natural, and now God does all that he can do in the supernatural. And that's the moment that God makes the water walkable. Why? Because Peter has decided, I'm not waiting on God, but rather God is waiting on me. So I'm going to jump out of the boat. I'm going to do whatever I can do to get God's attention here today. Is there anybody in this house that says, I'm not waiting for another service. I'm not waiting for another moment. I'm not waiting for another great this or that or the other, but I'm going to get a hold of Jesus now. I'm going to touch the hem of Jesus' garment now. I'm going to get a hold of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Why don't somebody clap your hands and magnify the Lord? Just for a moment longer. I really feel like there's somebody kind of just want to let loose for a moment. I got plenty more to say, but why don't you just clap your hands and magnify the Lord? Because there's some people here today that want to walk in the liberty of the Holy Ghost. There's some people here today that didn't feel liberty when you walked in, didn't feel peace when you walked in. Right now is the hour. Maybe all you've got is a little bit of oil left, but if you'll just start pouring out the oil, God will start filling up like only God can. If you'll just put your hands together and lift up your voice, God will begin to do what only God can do. If you begin magnifying the name of the Lord, I'm telling you here today, God will begin to give you strength. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's the way the word of God works. He's telling somebody today to get off the boat and just come to where Jesus is. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. One more time, why don't you just clap your hands and why don't you thank God? Because there's somebody here today that doesn't need to walk out the same. There's somebody here today that doesn't need to walk out sad, doesn't need to walk out depressed. There's somebody here today that doesn't need to walk out with suicidal thoughts attacking your mind any longer. There's somebody here today watching online, doesn't need to leave this service the same way that you came in. But I believe that if you will step out, God will show up. And when God shows up, your entire world will change all around you. Why? That's just how good God is. When we decide to move, I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. I'm gonna continue on, but I feel Jesus moving. It's so important that we decide to take that first step. You know what happens in church? I grew up in church, so I know a good amount of it. You know what happens in church? We wait for Brother So-and-so at the church I grew up at. It was about, I don't know, probably like 500 people or so at this church. Then we went and started a church. Whew, that rocked my world. Because then there was five people, me, my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister. I won't get into that. But the church that I grew up at until I was about 12 years old, there was a guy we used to call the running man. To be honest with you, I don't know his name. Because he was the running man to us. And when the Spirit of God got moving, sometimes Spirit of God, we didn't feel, you know, all good and whatnot. And when he got up, he would get up right in the middle of the service, right in the middle of the worship, and it'd be a slow song. He'd get up and just start running. Whew.
Those aisles were long, and he would take off outside the lobby there, and he would come back in. And we knew when he got to running, oh, Spirit of God's here, let's get moving. And all the little kids, including me, would get up and take off running after him. And we'd all start, I don't know if I was in the Holy Ghost or not, but I got something stirred up, that's for sure. But you know, then I started realizing, well, we all wait, as I got a little bit older, for the running man. We all wait for him to start running and taking off and get feeling good in the Holy Ghost. Well, why can't I do that? Why can't you do that? How many times do we wait for Brother So-and-so? How many of those disciples would say, all right, Peter, this is your chance. You're the crazy one anyway. Right? Well, I mean, that's your character anyway. Some people sit back, well, that's just not my character. That's not how I am. That's not how I roll, you know. It's not how it goes. Well, I'm talking to you. Right? Because when you feel the Spirit of God and you realize, man, I really don't have any other answers left. I don't have any plan B. I don't have any plan C. This is all I've got left. Then all of a sudden, it really does away with your personality and what people think about you and how they care about or how what they're thinking about you while you're running, while you're shouting, while you're clapping, while you're dancing. And when you begin to decide, well, you know what? I'm not worried about what people are thinking about me. It's in that moment that your faith goes beyond what you feel. Your faith goes beyond your situation. You begin to act out in faith and in pure faith where nothing else can move you, nothing else can rock you. So instead of waiting for Brother So-and-so and Sister So-and-so to get moving, why don't somebody here today say, you know what? I'm going to move so that God would move. I'm going to clap so that God would show up. I'm going to dance. I'm going to shout. I'm going to worship God until something happens because I want God to move in my home. I want God to move in my family. I want God to move in my place. Why don't somebody clap your hands and shout unto God all over this place right now? I believe it's in atmospheres like this that God heals cancer. It's in moments like this that diseases have to go. In moments like this that the deaf will hear, that the lame will walk. Moments like this that the dead will rise. Why? Because Jesus is here today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes. I feel the Holy Ghost. Why don't we all stand together? That'd be all right. Why don't we all stand together? I feel the Holy Ghost here in this house, and I've got plenty more to say. But I feel it's good for us to respond where we're at right now. Is that all right? Why don't we do this? Why don't you close your eyes real quick all over this room? You're watching online. Why don't you lift up your hand if you have a need that you want God to move on? You have a need. Raise your hand real high. Would you do that? Say, I've got something I want Jesus. So I'm in the right church. I'm talking to the right people. Why don't you go ahead and put your hands down? And right now, this is the most important part. With your need, not with how you feel, but with your need. Eyes closed all over this room. Those people that had their hands raised. Why don't you come on down to this altar? This is your step off the boat. Right here. This is your step. I'm going to pour a little bit more oil. I'm bringing another vessel because I believe God can heal. I'm bringing another vessel. I believe God can restore. Why don't you do it right now? That's it. All over this place. Doesn't matter if you've been here. This is your first day or you've been here 100 years. It doesn't matter. Today is the day that God can heal your body. God can touch your mind. As you come, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this last thing. There was a lady that was in a coma up in California a few years ago, and I was preaching. I remember the Spirit of God being there, and I was encouraging them, much like I am to you today, to do something you just don't normally do. Do something out of the ordinary. If you don't normally clap, start clapping. That's what I told them. If you don't normally shout, start shouting. I'm going to tell you the same. If you don't normally jump, start jumping. And watch. God will respond because you decide to take a step out of your comfort zone. And so I was telling them much the same. And this lady had called me After church, she spoke to me. She said, you know, I'm going to drive. 3 hours was her drive to the hospital where there is a lady from our church in the ICU. She's on a ventilator, on the respiratory system. The whole deal wasn't COVID related. This was all before that. She said, but I'm going to go and I'm going to pray with her. This lady wasn't a minister. She wasn't on the leadership team. She was a believer like you and like me. She said, I'm going to go. I'm going to drive all that way. I'm going to take this little bottle of oil, and I'm going to go ahead and pour it all over, and I'm going to begin to pray in the name of Jesus. She said, would you mind if I put you on speakerphone there on the phone, and wherever you are, if you just help me pray over the speakerphone there in the room? I said, yeah, absolutely. And so about a few hours later, I get a call, and we're out to eat. And she said, hey, I'm here now. They won't let me do FaceTime like I want to, but I'm going to put you on the speakerphone, and we're going to pray. And I mean, I was so grateful for her faith. I felt faith in the room. And I begin to team up with her faith, and we begin to speak the words of God. We begin to speak, you'll live and not die. We begin to tell, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be healed in Jesus' name. We begin to speak the word, but we were doing at that point what only we can do in that moment. And I remember shortly after that, a few hours later, she called me back. She said, hey, guess what? I've been here, and guess what? They just discharged her from the hospital. She's out of the coma. She's off that respiratory system. She's completely healed. I'm telling you today that if you will step out, that God will do what only God can do. Why don't you lift up your hands all over this room right now? All over this room. Why don't you lift up your hands? This is your step of faith. Now, why don't you lift up your voice right now as God is here in this room, and why don't you just begin to talk to God in your own words? And we're going to shout. We're going to shout hallelujah all together. And as we shout hallelujah, I want you to shout it in victory. You're going to extend your faith in that point of victory as we shout hallelujah. I believe God is going to fill people with the Holy Ghost. God's going to heal people. God's going to deliver people. Why? Because it's just what God wants to do in an atmosphere like this. All over this room, why don't you lift up your voice? I'm going to speak a word of faith, and we'll shout hallelujah here in a moment. But right now, with your own words, right now, with your own voice, why don't you lift up your voice? That's it. Just begin to speak the word of faith. Just begin to talk to God in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give you glory. I worship you, Jesus. I magnify you. That's it, all over this room right now. Go ahead.